The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome you back to the second hour, and we have had a really good show today. Dan Mullen in the first hour and Tim Brando joining us now. And as we come on the air, there is some breaking news in relation to Mr. Brando from the National Sports Media Association, the prestigious group out of North Carolina that has an annual soiree every year. And Tim has been added to the Hall of Fame ballot. And I know I will be voting for him, and I hope many of my friends will. And as they say in Louisiana, vote early and often. Tim, congratulations. That's an amazing honor. Thank you for joining us.
Idea that typical of you to be a part of my breaking news today, that it would happen on a day that I was scheduled to be. You know, it means a lot. I'm not going to deny it. I've not traveled the same path as some of the luminaries that you see on that list of finalists. And just to see my name associated with so many that have already won Sportscaster of the Year awards and that kind of thing, multiple Emmys and all of that, puts a lot of, in perspective for me. You know, like you, I'm going into my home state's Hall of Fame. They're going to have the event December the 17th here, and I was thrilled about that. And to have this nomination occur the very same year is humbling, and that's not a word that's often associated with yours truly.
Maybe the first time I've ever seen that in the same sentence, but that's okay, Tim. You've had an amazing year. I know you were honored at Tennessee a couple of years ago with the Lindsey Nelson Award. You're deserving of all these honors. I'm just glad to see them coming your way.
Thanks. Well, Paul, listen, I've led a blessed life. Married to the same woman for 42 years. She just had her birthday yesterday, which means so very much to me. And listen, I'm just overjoyed that this has come my way. And I think a lot of good fortune comes through hopefully some hard work. You know, I've worked diligently at it for quite some time, and I'm very proud of all the stops that I make. I embrace every stop that I made, and some of the hills as well as valleys that I've had to deal with. And you certainly understand where I'm coming from, because no career is without speed bumps. And I've had my fair share. And I do want to say this, because I'm now in my seventh year at Fox. And without that association, I don't know that I could have gotten to a point where I would be recognized with so many of these luminaries that are in this category this year. So I'm blessed for my time at ESPN, my time certainly at CBS and now at Fox.
Well, Tim, speaking of being blessed, I mean, we are now on November 18th, and yes, much is made out of games being postponed or canceled or whatever it is. The number grows every week, but we're still here. And you were among those who kept pushing for it and saying there was a way, and apparently there was.
Yeah, you know what, Paul, and even to this day, even now, it's become, if anything, I'm a passionate guy. And oftentimes what you see for me, particularly in social media, is a reaction to a prevailing thought that I simply disagree with. And the most recent one I'd have to tell you is, oh, my God, will we get to the finish line? I don't think there's any question we're going to get to the finish line. But we never said that this was going to be an ideal year or that everybody would play the same number of games. My God, even the conferences couldn't agree on when to start college football, which was predictable. And I've talked about that for, you know, 20 plus years. But we've got it, and we're forging ahead. And, you know, the players themselves, and most of the pushback that I see, not necessarily from fans of college football, but from fans across the country, is that, you know, they're just kids, and we're exploiting them, and there are issues. And I get the fact that there are circumstances surrounding name, image, and likeness that need to be taken care of and will be taken care of. And no, these are not pro athletes. But, Paul, we wouldn't be playing if not for the athletes. if not for Justin Fields and for so many others in other conferences that had their voices heard, not only in the area of social justice, but in the area of, hey, this is my time. I want to play college football. And those are the guys that are responsible for getting the Big Ten to do an about face, for the Pac-12 and the Mountain West to do an about face. And God bless them for that. And we've got, what is it, 10 games this week? We had 15 games last week. I just got off the phone a short time ago with the Kansas State head coach, who will I have on Saturday at Ames against Iowa State. And his team is awaiting word on their COVID tests later today. And then they'll have others that they'll find out about on Friday. And they're just above the line to be able to make the trip and play the game. So it's a struggle, yes, from time to time, depending upon what part of the country that you're in. But they're committed to playing. They absolutely want to play. And I think our lives as consumers, and I'm not going to lie, yeah, I love broadcasting college football. My life as a broadcaster is better off for it. So I think that we need to heap praise on what's taking place to this point, as opposed to be cynical and say, well, I mean, it's just, I mean, we may not get there. I think getting there is not going to be a problem. The road to wherever there is just a different route depending upon where you're playing football.
Tim, you have not been shy about some of the critics, and you know, I'm interested in your view of that, because you have, you know, I'll be quiet here because I used to be on that side as a scribe, but you know, what do you think is behind that? Because it is a constant drumbeat, to say the least.
It's so much easier to take the shot, and it always gets you more attention to take the shot. And yeah, you were on that other side. And listen, I take my shots when I feel they're warranted. But Paul, my bigger issue is, and this goes back to many past conversations that you and I have had, and that is that because there is no universal leadership in college football, and because we can poke holes in the fact that none of the commissioners of any of the leagues can agree on anything, not even when to start, that is not a license to just throw college football under a bus every time you get a chance. The NFL doesn't go through that scrutiny. The NBA doesn't. Major League Baseball doesn't. And I think the reason for it is the people that are particularly in print journalism, some are in electronic journalism as well. Many are in electronic journalism as well. It's easy to take shots when you don't have to worry about your company having the bat phone ring and having the commissioner of said league ripping into you because of the partnership that you guys have. College football is different. It's segmented into those 10 conferences. Five are power leagues, five are not. But I think there's just no limit to the cynicism that can come at college football, because they just don't have anyone strong enough, one leader, one voice, that can come back at them and say, hey, man, cease and desist. We've not had any deaths this season, knock on wood, from college football, yet the threat of there being deaths was there and was mentioned quite often by many in the mainstream media. And the other factor is that the games themselves have been tremendous. We've had incredible weekends. Last weekend, even with 15 games gone, was a tremendous weekend for college football. And yet, I think you would agree with this, because you appear on many of these mainstream shows. I'm on talk shows as a guest many times over, and I get more questions about what didn't happen because of COVID as opposed to what did happen with college football. So there's more being written about games not played than games that are being played, in my opinion.
Oh, no. Last week was one of the busiest weeks of the year for me, because not because of great games, but because of what had been scrubbed. I mean, I'm like, you know that. I'm not mentioning any networks in particular, but the news is always bigger when something goes wrong than when something goes right.
Yeah, and that's just the part of the world that we live in today. But again, I go back to this base for college football and college athletics in general, being a whipping boy for the media. because it's fraught with so much trouble that needs to be addressed, that needs to be overhauled. And I'm the first to point the finger. Listen, we're staring right down the barrel again of another Sunbelt Invitational with the same brand names playing in the same games for the national championship. But you haven't heard me pounding the pavement this year for immediate expansion. I don't believe in that at all. In fact, I agree with Southeastern Conference Commissioner Greg Sankey. We don't need to prolong the finish line. We just need to get there. Now, when do we need that expansion? Next year, and immediately next year. I mean, we're talking about hemorrhaging anywhere between $30 to $80 million on most of these college campuses, the Power Five leagues, and they need additional revenue in a hurry, or they're going to be dropping more sports and more athletic department personnel everywhere. What's the best way of getting that additional revenue? Expansion. Why? Television inventory. Greater inventory means greater advertising revenue, which becomes what? More money coming into the coffers of all of college football, which is desperately needed. And at the same time, yeah, they've got to deal with the NIL issue, and the NIL issue is huge, but you can solve your biggest problem by understanding that all of this country needs to be involved in your sport. And right now, only 60% of it is. That BYU, Cincinnati, Liberty, Coastal Carolina are nothing more than a blip on your radar screen is fundamentally flawed and wrong. Now, we can't do anything about it this year, but we had better do something about it next year. Our college football as we knew it will be gone.
We'll pick that up in a moment. That's an interesting theme to say we're heading to a break with Tim Brando, an extra segment with Tim. We are coming back. We'll get to your phone calls as well as we continue here on a Wednesday.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. Tim Brando with us for a few more minutes. Tim, I just want to finish the thought a minute ago, because I think there's been so much reaction already on your comments about the Sun Belt Invitational. And I just want to make sure we had a little more time on that, because, you know, there is nothing that can be done. But it is, and you and I both know, despite what you said about next year, it's not going to change. I hope you're sitting down when I told you that Bill Hancock will be on the air at some point next year and saying, we really like what we have.
Yeah, well, he can say that, but college football is going to be in peril if he follows through on that. I think it's incumbent upon everyone involved that passionately loves the game of college football to begin understanding that we've turned college football into college basketball, and I love that sport too, as you well know. And it seems, Paul, and you're part of the daily lexicon, you know where I'm coming from here. If you're not 1, 2, 3, 4, possibly 5, but that's it, then you're playing for the NIT. You have no shot of getting into the big dance. That's not good for college football. And that's where we are right now. You know, I'm doing a lot of Big 12 games. There's some good teams there. And, yeah, they've lost. But the first time Oklahoma State lost a game, they were done. Big 12 done. Out of the bit. You guys can play, and that's wonderful, but you know, forget about that entire region of the country. That's fundamentally wrong. BYU can be the best team in the country west of the Brazos. Nobody cares. They're BYU. They don't have a seat at the table. That's wrong. And it's killing us in the ratings. College football has gone down in television ratings by about 50%. Now, look, the Masters just had their worst in 60 years. So it's down everywhere. But college football is going to remain flatlined in terms of interest from where it was during the BCS era when, oh, by the way, a team like Boise State, because of criteria, would actually have a real chance of getting in, because now none of those teams do, regardless of where they are. So, you know, Bill can, you know, play his bugle from Frisco, Texas all he wants, but the people that care about the future of college football, and you know who they are, not all of them are working in that office in Dallas. They need to step forward and say, hey, you want to make your money back? You want to make all this all these losses that you've incurred because of no gate? And listen, television's playing a huge role in them not losing as much money as they would otherwise. So it's up to us, and I'm talking about everybody that loves the game the way we do, to say, if you don't see the writing on the wall now, then you're in a world of hurt. College football is the second most popular sport in our country, and it absolutely dominates the airwaves every weekend. And yet it means so little to the masses now, because we're only talking about four or five teams, okay, that you can't get anybody on daily cable television to discuss college football unless the game is called off. That's wrong. And it should be foreshadowing to everybody involved, every conference commissioner and every network executive that has a stake in college football, I believe, knows that. So regardless of what Bill has to say from his lofty perch, I will tell you that he may be the executive director of the college football playoff, but he will be taking his directions from a higher calling and a higher pay grade.
Well, and we had your friend Mike Oresko on the other day, and you know how he feels about this. But in terms of the five that have better seats at that table, do you have any indication they will change? Because it always seems to be status quo for them. Now, that was prior to what we're currently experiencing.
That's a great question. You hit on something. I think all the commissioners now in college football understand that there is something a lot more important than just what's happening with their own constituency and in their own part of the country. All right. I think we've all learned a lot from the COVID era. Okay. By example, I give a lot of credit to the Pac-12. They had two teams that couldn't play last week. Arizona State couldn't go and Cal couldn't go. And the two teams that were supposed to play them got on the phone within 72 hours of Sunday morning and said, hey, we can't play. Can you play? Yeah, we can play. Well, let's play. You know, they got something done in 3 days. In the history of our sport, that's never happened. So these have been difficult times that call for special circumstances, and you got to meet those special circumstances. We need more of that. And I think we've all learned a great deal, no matter what end of the spectrum in college football we're part of. And I absolutely, in talking with athletic directors and conference commissioners, Mike Oresko, yes, he's a friend, and he's got a hell of a team in Cincinnati that's got virtually no chance of getting in, no matter how good they are, and we've got 5 weeks left. The bottom line is, I believe that the commissioners of the other conferences now see the light in that it's not just about us, it's about the entire sport, and we've got to look out for its best interests. And when we see our numbers plummeting to the extent that they have in terms of television, and now with no gate, you know, no gate to call upon to take over for some of those revenue losses, we've got to expand our horizons a little bit, and that means expansion. I fully expect that there will be great conversation about expansion, and I really believe it needs to happen immediately in 21. Not this year. This is not a one-off situation. We need to expand it for the good of the game. Now, at the end of this season, we need to do it, because we are going to absolutely go beyond those losses, and we're going to see massive cuts in a lot of sports and a lot of universities across the country if we don't.
Tim, not to end on the end of the world type of note, but if they don't, and I don't have any confidence that they will. I know the circumstances are dire, but you also know what they're protecting. Mm-hmm. What do you think this sport is going to look like looking ahead?
Well, if they don't do it, Paul, it'll be because they can't, I'm going to just use the term, walk and chew gum at the same time. Can't multitask. So because of NIL, because of that, you can't get to this. I mean, I don't buy that. These are leaders. These guys and women that are in governance are leaders, and they need to step forward and lead in every imaginable way. But if we don't get to that expansion by the 21 season, then I think at the very least plans will be made for when we will. It's no longer a question of if on expansion. It's a question of when. Now, my when is 2021, because I think these programs have got to be protected. Sunbelt teams have to be protected. They got to be considering those clubs that they have to have in order to put together a 12-game schedule. As long as they want to play the 12-game schedule, they need those schools to still be in business. They won't be if we don't expand by 2021. A lot of those programs are going to be gone. And I'm not every group of five has a Joe Moglia like Coastal Carolina that was the CEO of TD Ameritrade. Okay, not all those programs have that. We're talking about programs with budgets of $17 million annually. All right, they're going to be gone if we don't make the change immediately. But if we don't, then I think we will find out when. And again, I call upon the guys in our profession, too, because I think our bosses, the executives in television, let's face it, some of the best decisions that were ever made were made by commissioners of conferences like the one with the SEC. Roy Kramer listened to a man named Tony Petitti, who was my boss at CBS. Prior to that, was at ABC. And it was Tony Petitti that put together the Bowl Championship Series model. And that was to get the Big Ten and the Pac-12 on the same ground as the rest of the so-called then CFA. Roy Kramer listened to Tony, and that was the blueprint for the success of the Bowl Championship Series. That was a significant step. The next step, obviously, came after the LSU-Alabama rematch, which was met with smoke-filled rooms immediately. And those smoke-filled rooms said, we can't allow this to happen again. One conference in the championship game meant everyone else was tuning out. Well, we're right there again. I mean, even with four teams, we're right there again. If I can tell you now, it's Clemson, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and I can tell you just about every other year, it's Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, Ohio State, and if not Notre Dame, the second place team in the SEC, then why bother watching college football? We have totally ruined the postseason. As I said, and one of the biggest names in our business, a dear friend of mine and yours, he and I had a nice conversation last week, and he said, we're turning this into college basketball. Everybody's playing for the NIT except four teams. Paul, we can't have that. Something's got to be done about it. And if we don't see it now, then shame on us.
Tim Brando, one of the most important and consequential conversations we have had with him in a long time. We hope people out there will heed his counsel. Tim, thank you. Congratulations again about the nomination for the Hall of Fame. And we'll be watching you this weekend and hope to have you back very soon.
Thank you, Paul. And I know you hear this from coaches and ADs all the time, but I mean it when I say it. No one does more on a daily basis for the advancement of intercollegiate athletics and college football than Paul Finebaum. Thank you.
Great to have you on, Tim. Thank you for that. And we will see you very soon. Tim Brando, just a fantastic conversation. I mean, that was just supreme. We appreciate it. We'll get your reaction when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, we welcome you back, and great to have all of you here, and a great conversation with Tim Brando, and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. It's been a while since we've had some calls, so let's make up for that right now. And Mike is up next in Macon, Georgia. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you, you know, as long as I've been watching your show for the last few years now since you came on TV, that conversation with Tim Brando just blew me away. And, you know, you realize there's problems in the game right now, and what he had to say, I don't know, I'm still digesting it, but I thought it was very wise.
Well, and let me say this about Tim. This is not somebody just giving a hot take on some chat show. This is a guy that's passionate about college athletics. He's done it his entire life, both basketball, football, and everything else. And he really does care. And he's been talking about this for a long, long time. And unfortunately, nobody has listened very closely. People that matter, I should say.
Well, anyway, like I said, I'm going to let you get to your other callers, but I'm still digesting it. But I just thought it was one of the best conversations you've had. It was fantastic.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to a tweet now. Thank you, Mike. This is, let me put this on the board here. Do we have it ready to go? Anyway, somebody let me know when we have the tweet, and we'll put it up. Well, here it is. Kirk Bowles, in lieu of the Texas-Kansas postponement, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby just told us that three of the four SEC games postponed last week involved teams coming off bye weeks. We had six Big 12 byes last week, so it holds true for us. We could run into some challenges. That's Kirk Bowles. He's got a great podcast out there with Cedric Goldenson, which I was on a couple weeks ago. And we'll have to keep our eye on that, but I haven't really thought about that. But Bowlesby may have broken the code there because when you come off a bye week, you are normally sending your team home. Again, Alabama was on a bye week. I wouldn't, that they were not the issue in their game. LSU was, but LSU was coming off a bye week. So interesting comment there. Let's get to some more calls. And how about Jason in Illinois? Hey, Jason, you're next up. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Anyway, love the show, longtime listener. Anyway, so hey, just discussion with the college football again, is that the group of five teams, and I know obviously the teams down south, the SEC, are obviously powerhouses, but the group of five teams have zero chance at the beginning of the season of making the playoff and winning a national championship, unlike in other sports. So here's an idea, and I know this is not original, but I'm just throwing it out there. You got a college football playoff of eight teams, okay? Automatically take the five champions from your power five. Then you got two more at large, so then we could get another SEC team or maybe a Big Ten or maybe ACC, and then you automatically have that eighth team. This goes back to the BCS area. The eighth team automatically is from a group of five. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we go to eight, then that's probably how it will work. I mean, the group of five is now part of the New Year's Six or whatever. They get a spot in a bowl game. But I think it's good, and I agree with Tim. I think the question is, You know, Tim isn't necessarily arguing that they'll win. What he's arguing is because of television ratings going down, and they are. He's right. And I work for the biggest sports television network in the country, so I try to speak objectively as I'm allowed to, but he has broken the code. And whether it's not just COVID, the ratings have not increased, especially for the national championship and the college football playoffs, because in his words, it's the same teams, and it's not a very national look. Now you can't manufacture a team from California and a team from the East Coast. You have to take what you get. And Alabama and Clemson, LSU, Georgia, Alabama. Some of them have been fabulous games, but it is a fact you're not growing your audience. That's up to ESPN. That's up to the college football playoff people to figure out. I'm just an employee. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. John is up next in Birmingham. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. Great show. Enjoyed the conversation with Tim. I have an opinion about what he said, but I'll say this about Tim. I'm lifelong Bama fan. Bama fans spend most of their time hacked off at Tim. But the thing about him is he's been like you. He's been constant. You know, I've been listening to that guy for at least 20 years, and he's the same guy every year. And he says exactly what he believes. And it doesn't matter if it makes people tweet him or go after him. You know, he's a legend. And, like I said, I've spent half my time mad at what he said. But I have a high amount of respect for the guy. And, I'm glad he's up for that award, and I hope he wins it. What he was saying, I completely agree. Think about it, Paul. Look at how many schools are out there right now with millions and millions of fans, Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas, who pretty much mathematically are already out of it. They have no chance. And I'll say it. I'll call the elephant in the room out. No one cares about the bowls anymore. It's just the way it is. We want to see a playoff. How many times are we going to let the NFL be decades and decades ahead of us? From night games to television to playoffs to everything else, NFL has showed us what the model is. It's the number one sport in America. We need to change, and we need to do it now. If they're protecting the Rose Bowl, they're protecting old school people, get over it. He's exactly right. Ratings are dropping, and people don't care. There's millions of fans out there for major ball clubs. You don't even have to talk about Coastal Carolina. It's the Michigans or the Georgias, Oklahomas, Texas, they're out of it. They're already done for the year, and that's not right. You know, we'll never see an underdog come up again. And I'm a Bama fan, but we want to see that. Schools do that. They come up with a scheme, or there's a Cam Newton that comes through there, and you just never know. They still have a chance. But the way things are now, if you're not a billion-dollar school and one of those five, like he talked about, you pretty much have no chance, and they've got to fix that. And I agree with him for once today on what he said. Thank you
very much. And I'll give you a personal aside. I mean, this is the eighth year I've been at ESPN, and every year the interest in college football has dropped a little bit because they're getting overrun. A lot of things have affected college football. I frankly think the NBA has been one of its greatest threats. Now, this year is different. The NBA season is over for now, for a couple weeks. But usually the NBA starting in late October has just suffocated the middle of the college football season, and the playoffs come and the interest starts percolating back. But in some strange ways, the BCS hunt was more entertaining than this. This is really not interesting. We come down every year to the fifth school. Some years it's exciting. Most years it's not. And the playoffs are very blah. And I know I'm not supposed to say that as someone who's out front for the network who controls the playoffs. But Brando made a good point. This was the year to expand it. It didn't happen because of the stubbornness of some of the people involved. But they are college athletics is going through a major crisis right now, just like everything else in the country. But I see at least in other businesses there's activity. There is a plan to try to correct it. I don't see that in the sport. And if you doubt me, just watch what happened in early August when the five commissioners of college athletics broke down, and then you had two go off on their own. They ended up with egg on their face, and they came back, and they haven't quite recovered since. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls. Greg McElroy, top of the next hour. A couple of basketball coaches will drop by. We've already had Brando. We've already had Dan Mullen. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. And Ed is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We're doing great.
I haven't called you in a while. You know, been busy. But hey, I want to ask you a question. Deep down in your core or whatever, what do you think of the season so far with all the stuff going on and, you know, what do you think it has gone so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, the SEC season has been very entertaining. We've had really good games. The Clemson-Notre Dame game was fabulous from outside the SEC. The Clemson-Boston College game was amazing. I think under the circumstances, it's been a great season.
Well, I agree, except for a couple games. Arkansas has been a big surprise, of course, you know.
Sure.
I don't think nobody expected that, you know. But other than that, it's gone pretty much as on schedule. I mean, as projected, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're getting, we're now moving into about 15 games across the country postponed every week, but that was expected from day one. It just took a while to catch up.
Yeah, right.
I feel good. I'm not an expert on the state of the country. I'll leave that to others, but everyone knows the direction we're going in, at least for the next 2 to 3 months. And, so I think you're going to see this in every walk of life.
I think you will. Yeah, it is. And by the way, my grandson is playing Ohio this Saturday night for the state championship in Ohio.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, best of luck to him.
How about that? Yeah.
And I hope he does well. Hey, thank you for the call. Daryl is up next in Illinois. Daryl, thank you and welcome to our program.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call. First time caller. I'm an Alabama alumnus. And definitely enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to get your take on something, though, if I might. Given the revolving door at OC at Bama, especially over the past decade or so, how important do you feel it is for Alabama to hold on to Coach Sarkisian at this point, especially as these head coach openings come available and now even one in the SEC?
I mean, I think he's done a really good job when you consider – you know, you had Brian Daboll and Lane Kiffin, and I know I'm missing somebody.
Applewhite.
Applewhite is not the coordinator. I mean, he was at in 2007. But I don't think it's essential. I think Nick Saban is quite adept at going out and getting a new coordinator. I think Sark has been one of the best ones, I'll say that. But this program has survived quite a few changes from Jim McElwain to you know, on down.
Agreed. I'm just wondering, it seems that stability is very important. You know, I was kind of bummed out right before the national championship game when you had the quarterback whisper Lane Kiffin in Jalen Hurts here and not to have him available for the biggest game of his career.
Lane Kiffin has said this many times and I agree with him. That cost Alabama a national championship, but it was a decision that I really never talked to Saban about it. I bet in retrospect he probably should have just calmed down and survived another week with Kiffin, as difficult as that was going to be, but he gambled and he lost.
Totally agree with you on that one, Paul. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you. And how ironic is the person we just got, the genesis of that call was the person who was put in charge. But we are up against a break. Been a really interesting 2 hours. And we have Greg McElroy next. I think he's doing the Tennessee-Auburn game this weekend. We'll get his preview of that when we come back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.